provider, our faithful friend, our compassionate friend. And so this morning, I'd like to thank God for this opportunity where we can ponder upon the Word of God. So let us open our Bible in the book of John. In the book of John. So we already read the first 7 verses of this chapter. And I'm going to add a few more verses from verses 35 until 41 for our focal passage this morning. And so let me read to you once again just to set our minds or just to refresh ourselves with these passages here in chapter 9. 1 to 7 and 35 until 41. So I'm going to read to you. Just follow me silently with your eyes. So verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no one can work. Verse 5, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. In verse 35, jump on verse 35, starting there, calling, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is the Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, your word passed through difficult times. History tells us that your word is true. There are so many people try to destroy your word, your Bible, but it ceased not. Why? Because we believe, O Lord, that we need your word. We need your Bible as the guide of our lives and the guide of our faith. Thank you, O Lord, for in it we discover that Jesus is the light of the world, and that without him, O Lord, we are in darkness and we are in eternal condemnation. But we thank you, O Lord, that your word proclaims that we are not now in condemnation, but we are now in light because we certainly believe in Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus Christ is a sure thing to have all, everything here on earth. Yes, believing Jesus Christ saves us from the penalty of sin and from the presence of hell. And so, Lord, we just come to you. It is our prayer that, again, at this moment, you're going to open our hearts and our minds as we open your word to receive it without delay and without reservation. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus is always teaching people through many ways and, of course, many times for the reason that he would like to demonstrate his power. In John chapter 4, he claims that he is the living water. And so, in order to illustrate this truth, he used a woman at Jacob's well as an object lesson that he is indeed the living water. He said in John chapter 4, the two verses 13 and 14 says, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." That is the water from the well, Jacob's well. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Also in John chapter 6, he claims that, "I am the bread of life," he said. So he used the Old Testament story. We remember manna during the time of journey unto the land of Canaan to exemplify that he is indeed the bread of life. To confirm this, the Bible said in John chapter 6, verse 53, Jesus himself said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now, we should take note that the purpose why Jesus taught these people with this kind of way, with this kind of message, with this kind of illustrations or miracles is that, number one, is that to believe him, to believe in Jesus Christ. He not just simply experimenting or creating situation, but the purpose is that people may believe him. Secondly, in believing, they will experience hope of everlasting life or salvation. And thirdly, they will give glory to God at the end. Now, in our passage in John chapter 9, as we read a while ago, it is another illustration of Jesus' claim. And what was the claim of Jesus? That he is the light of the world. Yes, he is the light of the world. Now, it is very interesting how he unwrapped, how he unveiled the truth in this story, which is worthy to study, I believe. We should take notice three things concerning Jesus as the light of the world. Number one is that according to our bulletin there, our outline, number one is that Jesus chooses the impossible condition to manifest his power, and not only that, to relay his message. Number two, Jesus uses the present situation, whatever is there, to work out his proclamation. And number three is that Jesus' aim is that people would believe in him as the Son of God, that he is the light of the world. And so let us discuss the first point at this time. Number one is that Jesus chooses the impossible condition to manifest his power to relay his message, because the first three verses of this passage talks about that. Like in verse 1, says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It's pretty straight. You can see in this verse 1 that John introduces us to a man, and that man is blind from birth. It didn't say the name of this man, but the blind man. A man whose world from the very first time, the very first second, the very first minute in his life was surrounded by darkness and hopelessness because he was born blind from his birth. And so whose life, according to the thinking of this world, I think, is liability or useless or burden to the health system or less fortunate person. Now, into this health system, a doctor may just give parents second option. And you know what is that? If they found out that the baby has defect inside the womb of a mother, sometimes they suggest abortion. But we Christian, we cannot do that. And so this baby, this man, is outcast. This man is isolated and abandoned from the society because he was simply blind. But you know, it's a perfect timing when he was there at the temple gate. Jesus was there also. Maybe that person was there because he was begging. He wanted just a chance to buy coffee in Tim Hortons or wherever he can get coffee. Not only that, in the old days, he was considered as sinful compared to others, because that's their belief. That if you have the defects, that if you are suffering, you are suffering because of your sin. And so, if you are suffering from your hands, you may be accused of stealing something. Well, it is not true. Though sometimes there's a certain degree that some suffering is directly related to sin, but not of this at this time. We think about the situation of Job. Job also suffers a lot. He was accused by his three friends. Job, you're suffering right now because of your sin. But then the Bible said in chapter 1 of the book of Job that he is a perfect man. He is a righteous man. And so, this is not true for his situation. He suffered because of his righteousness. And so Jesus Christ at this time clarifies what the disciples were thinking about that. So they asked Jesus Christ, and the answer of Jesus Christ is this: none of the above. None of the above. Neither this man or his parents sinned. Here we can see here in verse 3. Now, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Well, Jesus Christ directs them to the most important point here. Jesus Christ doesn't want to be distracted of his main point. What is the main point here of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that the work of God may be manifest in him or in this kind of situation. The important thing is that the work of God might manifest in this kind of situation. In other words, Jesus grabbed this kind of opportunity to show them the power of God over impossible, over difficult situation. For every difficult situation or circumstances in life is an opportunity to prove that God is powerful, that God is able to do exceedingly above all we can ask for. And so, Jesus never afraid of impossible situation. He delighted to perform his power on every circumstances in life. For example, he calmed the raging storm. He raised the dead as he himself was raised from the dead. That shows that he is powerful enough. He turned water to wine. He turned stone to bread. He healed the lame. He healed the lepers. He fed the thousands with a few bread and fish. He cast out demons. Who else could do this? Jesus and Jesus alone could do this. He never back off from any impossible circumstances in life. I don't know what is your situation maybe right now, but I tell you right now this, that Jesus Christ will never back off from your situation, as he did here in the situation of blind man. Well, more than this, point number two, Jesus uses the present situation to work out his proclamation, because verses 4 and 5 says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night comes when no one can work. He said in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Can we say this together? I am the light of the world. Ready? Start. I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of my life. Jesus is the light of your life. Yes, we know that Jesus performed miracles. But you know what? The most outstanding work that Jesus performed is not this. It's not turning water to wine. It's not casting out demons. It's not calming the raging storm. But the most outstanding work of the Lord Jesus Christ is this: that he obeyed the Father until his death. That when he offered his body there on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself. And what next? And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. Now, because of this, he not only can open the physical blindness of a person, but also he can open the spiritual blindness of the person, of all human race, because he said, I am the light of the world. John 1:4 affirms this also. He said, the Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Whose life is the light of man? Jesus Christ is the light of man. In John 1:12, or John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, and so Jesus Christ himself personally claimed this truth unto him. He said, I am the bread of life, or I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life in him. Now, because Jesus Christ is the light, he can work to what? Number one is that because Jesus Christ is the light of our life, he can guide and bring us unto all truth. That's what light do. Guides and bring us unto all truth. Not only that, bring us from darkness to light. I don't believe that a person who trusted and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ will remain in darkness. That is not his place or her place if that person believes in Jesus Christ. The place of the person who believes in Jesus Christ is in the light. And so Jesus Christ is able to bring us from darkness to light. And Jesus Christ also is able to transport us from eternal death unto eternal life. That's what we were for. We are doomed unto eternal hell before we believe in Jesus Christ. But now that we believe in Jesus Christ, he transported us, even right now, while we are still alive, to eternal heaven. To eternal heaven. To everlasting life. Now, this, because Jesus Christ is the light of the world, is the light of my life, Jesus can take us, or take me, from condemnation, from judgment to commendation. What is the commendation of Jesus, of God to those who believe in Jesus Christ? Eternal life. Eternal heaven awaits all of us because we believe Jesus Christ as our light of our lives. What Jesus did or what Jesus done in Calvary changes us all. This is a changes that we gain from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the challenge for all of us is this. Just like Jesus Christ He said in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while there is day. Now the challenge for all of us is this. Let us do the same. Let us do the same, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. My FFBC brethren, let us do the work of God in proclaiming the good news while we are able to do so. Well, I am right now, you can see me speaking in front of you. You can see me standing straight in front of you. But you know what? After 15, 20, 25 years later on, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. The same to you. Maybe in the Philippines, there is a, you can identify the group or in the church. Usually seniors or we call this womiso in the Philippines. They sit on the left side front. And another group there is the adult at their back. And always the young people at the back. You know, in my mind, those young people there sitting at the back, later on in their lives, they will sit here in front. They will become a womiso in the future. Or our seniors in the future. And that time, you know, you have now the limitations in your life. You cannot work anymore the work of the ministry of God. And so while we are still kicking, while we are still able to do this, let us grab the opportunity, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let us give people a chance, an opportunity to hear the word of God. Without you, they cannot hear the word of God. Without you, they cannot hear the word of God. And therefore, they cannot gain or obtain eternal life in heaven. So whose work is this? To proclaim and herald, to evangelize the world. It's our mandate. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. I used the illustration this morning that right now I'm living in an apartment with my wife and daughter Erica. And so I have this opportunity to do my laundry down there on the laundry room. And so, it's always in my mind that, Lord, you know, give me a person, give me a soul today. I'm going to do my laundry down there. And so, when I went down, I met a person, a Filipino person. And I was able to talk to him. So first, because I have dinggit, we call it dried fish. Dangit. I talked to him, you know. So I gave him dangit. So we talked a little bit the next week. Then, you know, I established a relationship with this person. And so one time, I invited him to attend our cell group, our Bible study. And he indeed, you know, eager to attend our Bible study. And lo and behold, when he was there, and our one family came in, which is came from this church, Brother Lito and this man, no, it's other. They were co-laborers before in the warehouse. And so we established this kind of relationship to this person. You know, if cell group will just do their duty and responsibility to reach out to their neighbors, to the visitors, then, you know, time will come that we don't have space here to sit on. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us go to the work as the song says. To the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of His counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands finds to do, just for the sake of proclaiming the word of God. The song says, toiling on, let us hope, let us watch and labor till the Master comes. When I was in the Philippines, I heard many very, very challenging stories of how the gospel there, how the gospel spread among the local people out there. People were so reserved and resistant before compared now. Some pioneering churches suffered much more because of shame, because of discrimination, because of ridicule, persecution, if you are a believer in the Lord, especially if you are proclaiming or sharing the word of God. I remember one time that, you know, I was not a believer that yet before, and we used to call Baptist Portis. Portis. Ay, Portis, you know, Portis. So, with that undermining attitude, shame, discrimination. One group of home Bible study while having prayer meeting, that this is the share of the pioneers of the churches there in the local churches. So one group of home Bible study while having prayer meeting one night, they were harassed by a man carrying a machete, a welded knife. You know, the house in the ancient time before that it is lifted up from the ground, and so you had a space in between. You can crawl, you can stand. Depends on how high the floor is. And so we use the Bible slate. Maybe this wide, and then we do this way so that I make it floor. And so there's a space there. So the machete man just spook in between the slate, bamboo slate, a person up there to scare them. Discrimination. But you know, folks, in spite of this, the gospel spread. Churches was built until now. So the challenge for all of us is this. Folks, let us roll up our sleeves and be willing to get dirt for the Master's use. Let us proclaim the word of God. Let us herald the word of God in every situation or in any situation in our lives. Number three is that Jesus aims that people would believe in Him as the Son of God that brings light to the world. Because verses 35 to 38 suggest that kind of idea. Because said here, Jesus heard that they had cast Him out. This is after the confrontation of the Jews and the Pharisees to this blind man. They want to convince that this is not true. You are in illusion. Your blindness is not true. Or the fact is not true that Jesus healed you. But you know what? This man, the blind man, stood firm on his belief that this man, Jesus Christ, named was the one who healed him. And so, as our result, in verse 35, says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Because of his position, because he stood firm, the Jews cast him out from the temple. Cast him out from association or from affiliation. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And not only that, he worshipped him. Now, many people follow Jesus Christ, but it does not mean that they are the believer of Jesus Christ. I'm going to explain to you. Many people follows Jesus Christ, but it doesn't mean that they are the believer of Jesus. Why is that? Because during the time of Jesus, we can see mixed multitude followed him wherever he went. Some were pure disciples of Jesus Christ. Some were not. Some are fake. Because some just want only to get share of the bread. But you know what? They don't want the bread of life. That's the fact. They just want to taste how delicious the bread is. But, you know what? They don't want the bread of life. They just want to taste to get their thirst done or satisfy their thirst. But you know what? They don't want the living water. It's so sad. They don't want the living water, which is Jesus Christ. Some just want to heal, but doesn't want the great healer. A person said, I promise, O Lord, that if I get well, if my sickness is gone, then I will be faithful to you. But then, after healing, he forget what he promised to God. He is just interested to get healing, but not the great healer. You know, folks, Jesus is not only interested in physical healing, but above all, with highest priority, he is interested in spiritual healing. He is interested in physical healing. He is not interested in outward. But he is interested inward of a person. He is interested of your destiny. Eternal life. Everlasting life. That is why he urged all the people to believe in him. Verse 36, it is my prayer that this is your question. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? Of course, we did this when we trusted and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But to those who have not decided or choose yet to believe in Jesus Christ, you don't know where to go after you're dead or after your death. When you died, there's a big question mark for you. Where am I going? You don't know. Jesus Christ is inviting to you right now. John 3:16, almost at the end of that verse, said, those whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. John 6:47 says, he that believeth in Him hath everlasting life. John 11:25, He said, Jesus Christ Himself said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, again, he that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. He shall live, but only to the people, to the person who believe in Jesus Christ. And so if you don't believe Jesus Christ, no, people, the world will see us, will accuse us as a narrow-minded people. Narrow-minded people. You don't involve others. But Jesus Christ said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or no one come to the Father except by Me. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes. The question is this, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The reason why I am asking this to you is that I am an imperfect person and that I cannot see inside in your heart. And when you go here, you've been here in the church every Sunday hearing the word of God, but that is not the guarantee of your salvation. The guarantee of your salvation is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to church all your life, yet doesn't give you guarantee that you will have eternal life, or you can go to heaven by saying, Lord, I went to church for 25 years, therefore let me in. Lord, I give my tithes for 30 years, and if I going to summarize, so the total of that is, no. So let me in. No. We cannot get in to heaven because of that reasoning. Because the only way we can get in heaven, to have this eternal life in heaven, is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, after confrontation, Jesus Christ met this person. He was excommunicated and prevented from entering the temple. But for the second time, yes, he was cast out when he was born blind. Yes, when he was cast out again when he stood firm in believing that Jesus Christ healed him. But you know what? Also, for the second time, Jesus Christ followed him and met him again there at the temple, the gate of the temple. This time now, he is already gained physical healing, but at this time, for the second time, he gained spiritual healing. And so, therefore, we conclude that Jesus Christ is not only interested in physical healing, but also in spiritual healing of the person. And what he did is that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse say in that verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believed. I believed you, Lord. Not only as the great, as the healer of my physical infirmity, but also of my spiritual infirmity. I believe you, O Lord. And not only that, believing Jesus Christ, that he worshipped Jesus Christ. He worshipped Jesus Christ. And I believe the motto of this person is what the song says, once blind, but now I see. Really, it's amazing grace that reached our hearts. Really, it's only amazing grace that we can go to heaven. So the challenge for the person, for anyone who have not received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, believe on him. Believe on him. But for us who has been the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a challenge for you. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, or Matthew chapter 5, 14 and 16 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, or never hid. Let your light to shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify your Father in heaven. Let us pray. For anyone here right now who is not sure of your salvation, you don't know where you're going when time comes that Jesus Christ will take you up. You don't know where you're going, either hell or heaven. If you don't decide right now, or in your life, if you don't decide or make a decision to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, for sure, you're going to eternal condemnation. But Jesus Christ gave you an opportunity right now to believe him, because he died for you. He sacrificed his life for you, for the payment of your sin. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And so, may you make a decision and choice right now. Willingly from your heart, say, follow me silently from your heart if your choice is that. If you like to have assurance of eternal salvation, eternal life, follow me silently from your heart. Oh dear God, I realize that I am a sinner. I am in darkness, but Jesus is my light to guide me unto all truth, unto heaven. Lord, I would like to make a decision and choice right now, a firm and sure decision and choice that Jesus Christ alone is my Savior and Lord. I believe in him, O God. Make me a person you want me to be. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we've been hearing your word for many times. But sometimes, O Lord, we don't understand. So it is a prayer that you continue to mold us, you continue to guide us, you continue to enlighten us, O Lord, even when we go home at this moment, after this service, that you continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, so that in our private and personal devotion, we gain understanding, enlightenment, in light of your message, of your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.